My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, good morning. It is wonderful as we're gathered here together once again in front of in the presence of our God in his house to hear his word. And it's all about him and what he is doing for us this morning. And I know a lot of times when we show up in God's presence, a lot of times we have our expectations. But today, let's set those expectations aside and receive the blessings that our God is offering to us this morning in worship. And now, one thing I have to mention is we're all wearing these funny shirts, and we have a whole bunch of young people sitting over there all wearing the same kind of funny shirts. This is the beginning of National Lutheran Schools Week. And so we're celebrating our school, and the kids are going to be, you already had them handing you bulletins and stuff, right? And they're going to be doing the readings today as well. After the service is over today, we're going to have an open house in the school. And I really do encourage you to go over and take a look and see what it is we're doing. This is your ministry. This is our corporate outreach to our community and to this next generation. And so please come and take a look at it so you guys understand exactly what it is that we're all about. So with that, let us begin our worship service this morning. We begin this service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have called us to be your own, that you invite us to come and to worship you. I pray you help us to set aside all that might distract us this day. Help us to just come and listen to you, to hear your words, that you might enliven our spirit. All this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Early in the morning,
As I mentioned earlier, the kids from our school, the Quest program, are going to come up and do our readings for today.
The first reading is from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 through 30. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be?
But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just how he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem weaker are indispensable. The parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are indispensable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to those parts that lacked it. So there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping of guidance, and different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak tongues? Do all interpret?
Our second reading is from Luke 4, verse 16 through 30. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself,' and you will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' Truly, I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown."
Surely I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elijah the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. All of the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which where the town was built, in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way.
Thank you so much for reading for us today. It is now time for the children's message. So children, if you guys would come forward at this time, that would be amazing. And like we've been doing lately, if you guys could stay on the outside of the rails so that you don't crowd my poor teacher, I'd sure appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Nope. Thanks,
could you
Pastor
stay on the outside
Bob.
Of the rail? Very good.
You guys are going to stay down here because you're going to want to look at this. And I have my friend to help me this morning. Am I on?
Yes,
hello. Thank you. Did you guys see my friend Jacob reading scripture just a little bit ago? Yeah. So we're going to talk this morning about being part of God's family. Does that sound like a good idea? So take a look at Jacob. Does he look like he is put together correctly? Mm-hmm. You are.
Thank you.
You're welcome. This is kind of how the body is supposed to look. And in the Bible reading today, one of the readings, it talks about how a body kind of reminds us of how God's family should work. So, what if Jacob's ears said, I don't like being an ear anymore. They're on the side of the face. They're not very important. I want to be up front where the eyes are. So his ears move there, which is okay because one of his eyes said, I'm always getting blinded, and I have to look at everything, and I have to take care of all the schedules and look. And so I would rather be a hand, because the hands get to write, and they get to pick things up, and they get to bake cookies. So I want to be a hand. And the other eye said, yeah, well, maybe you want to be a hand, but I want to be a foot. Because the feet get to decide where we're going to go. So I want to be a foot. And the foot said, you know what? It's okay with me. I'm tired of being a foot. Because I'm always on the ground and I'm getting dirty and people are stepping on my toes all the time. So I want to be a hand too. Now, what do you think about that? How we doing? Is Jacob gonna have, he's gonna step on me with, oh. So is Jacob gonna have a hard time in school? Yeah, is he gonna have a hard time knowing where to go if he's trying to see with his feet? Yeah, tell me, what is the best place for ears? Yeah, the best place for ears is exactly where God put them, on the side of the head. What is the best place for a foot?
Where the eyes.
Down at the bottom of the legs, right? And where should our eyes be?
Where the ears were.
Right up there in the front. So God says in the Bible that the way the body's put together is kind of like how we're put together as the body of Christ. Every single little part, this fingernail and this hair and that eyelash and this knee, they're all important. And every single one of you was made by God as a very special part of God's body. Did you know that? You didn't? You do now. You do now. So, this is Lutheran Schools Week, and I want to talk about one thing that we get to celebrate every day in Lutheran school. Would you raise your hand for me if, when you are doing your part as part of God's family, something goes wrong? Does that ever happen? You get tired, you get frustrated, it doesn't work, you can't do your math, get in trouble, you don't put your toys away, you want to play, mom says it's time. Something might go wrong. But here's what we get to tell the kids every single day. Number one, God made you. Number two, you are part of God's family, and you're a very special part. Number three, God loves you very, very much. Number four, Jesus, take a peek up there at that cross. Jesus died and rose for you to forgive all your sins. And if you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, God is going to help you get through whatever it is that you're going through, and you can go back to being your special part of God's family. So Jacob is going to close us with a prayer. If you could fold your hands and repeat after Jacob.
Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For making me me.
For making me me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For having me in your family.
For having me in your family.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Today's text is kind of it's an interesting story. It almost feels like Jesus is picking a fight, you know? Jesus comes to his hometown, he comes to Nazareth, and he goes to church on the Sabbath, which is good to know that Jesus goes to church regularly, and it says that was his normal way of doing things. And while he was at the synagogue, he was honored by being given one of the readings. And what they did back then is they basically, if whoever they looked at and honored and said, this is a good teacher, somebody who has something to say, they would give him one of the readings, and he would read, and then he would sit down, and he would preach a sermon. All right? And so Jesus did this. He came in, he read, and they gave him the prophet Isaiah. And they had a lectionary system very similar to ours, where there was a reading for that Sabbath day. And here's what he had to read. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So is that good news? Seems to be, right? I mean, it seems like this is good stuff, right? I mean, all of these things are very, very positive. You know, proclaim good news to the poor, freedom for the prisoners. Well, that's good for the people in jail, and they like that. Recovery of sight for the blind, and set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. All very wonderful, noble things. And then Jesus sat down, because that's what they did when they started the sermon. And Jesus' sermon started with one sentence. Today, this has been fulfilled in your presence. Today, right now. What's Jesus saying? That he is the fulfillment of this prophecy. Well, that's something. Basically, what Jesus was saying is, I am the one who fulfills all of the Old Testament prophecies. I am the one who has been promised since Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. I am the seed of the woman that was to come to set people free. I am the one that Abraham was told, the one of your offspring will come, who will be a blessing to all nations. The one that Moses was promised, the one that was prophesied every single time they sacrificed in the Old Testament, that one that was promised by Isaiah all the way through Malachi, promised again and again, the one will come, and he is going to be this enormous blessing. And the people, they didn't quite respond the way Jesus was, they responded exactly as Jesus expected them to, not as Jesus would have liked them to. And explain that, have you been watching the news lately? Anything happening? I mean, all at once, right? I mean, but one of the things that I noticed in the news is that, you know, we do have a new president, right? And one of the things that I noticed is that, you know, ever since Election Day, up until now, and now even continuing, There is a parade of important people who want to meet with President Trump, right? Even at the inauguration, the leaders of the biggest tech companies were right up there with him, right? In the inner circle. And the thing is that the question I have is, well, why are all these people wanting to talk to the new president? And the answer is, because they want something, right? Every single one of them has an agenda. Every single one of them has an expectation, has a desire, and they just found somebody who's very powerful and very important that they can now go to try to get the thing that they want, right? And so President Trump, all of a sudden, has a whole bunch of friends that he never had before. Isn't it amazing how popular he is? You know? And the thing is this. I mean, we understand it. This is the way of the world, that once you are important and popular, or once you are important and powerful, you become very popular. And you will be popular right up until they don't need you anymore. And then they move on. It's got to be a really weird place to be. It's also where Jesus was. See, Jesus was this new and interesting person on the scene in Israel. Jesus was this teacher that went from place to place with his disciples, and when he went to at least some places, he would heal people. He would do miracles. He would do these amazing wonders, and he would also teach, all right? And for Jesus, the teaching was the big part. The miracles were simply to validate his teaching. He was just doing them so that people could understand that I actually am who I say I am. And the teaching was the important part, the teaching of why it is that Jesus came into the world and what it is that God wants for us, how this relationship between God and man is supposed to work. It's kind of a big deal. But when Jesus went to Nazareth, they were very excited to see him. They honored him by having him read the scripture, and they wanted to hear what he had to say. But more than anything, they wanted to see the miracles. They wanted to see the tricks. They wanted to hear the stories. And they wanted some of their problems taken away. And Jesus educated them on expectations. Right? Jesus told his people, listen, this relationship between God and man is not going to be based on your expectations. It's not going to be based on what you imagine or what you think is important. It's not going to be based on your wisdom or your aspirations. This relationship between God and man is God blessing you the way God desires to bless you. And at first, that sounds very law, doesn't it? Like you're going to get like a parent, right? When you feed your child, you've all experienced this. You give your children good food, healthy food, and they look at it and they say, ew. And you say, you're going to eat it and you're going to like it. It's almost as useful as saying calm down. You know what I mean? It's just pointless. But nevertheless, the thing is that Jesus is coming and he is telling his people, listen, it's not about what your expectations are coming into this relationship. I know you have needs. I know you have sicknesses. I know loved ones are dying. I know all of this stuff is happening, but that's not the primary reason I came. The reason I came is to set the captive free. The reason I came is, yes, to give sight to the blind. Absolutely. The reason I came is to do all these things. But the reason I came is to let the people in bondage out of their bondage, to turn them loose and to free them so that they can truly live. And we, I get, here, this is the most amazing thing. This message that Jesus gave the people back then is the same message that we get today. And I know when we come to church, we come with lots of expectations. When we turn to God in prayer, we come with lots of expectations. And it's not, and please hear me, I am not saying don't pray, okay? I am not saying don't come to God with your needs. Don't pray for everything that's in your, that you know, you can pray for all of that. And that's not the problem. The question is this: what is God's expectation? Because the relationship that we enjoy with our God is the relationship that God himself defines. He gets to spell this out. He gets to tell us how this works. And if we come to God and we say, my prayer as a teenager, can I please have a 1966 Mustang convertible? Now, I never got it. All right? Never happened. Several reasons for this that I can surmise. One is God decided I didn't need it, right? God decided that he loved me and wanted me to stay on this planet longer because he knew how I would drive it. Now, should I be upset that I didn't get what I prayed for? Because God blessed me with something else instead. You know what he gave me? He gave me a Savior. When I was born, I was adorable. But I was sinful. You know what I'm saying? I mean, from the moment I was conceived, I was messed up. I was selfish. I wanted my own. I was stubborn. Ask my wife, she'll tell you. Ask my mom, she'll tell you. No, aren't we though? I mean, this is the thing, is that we all know this about ourselves. From the very beginning, we have been willful, selfish, wanting our own thing, wanting our own way, driving our own agenda. And we love it if we can get God co-opted to join us in our agenda. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, how much of this is our relationship with God? God, you know, I'll bargain with you. You know, if you give me the 1966 Mustang convertible with a 289 three-speed, just, you know, got to be accurate, you know, be specific. Anyway, and if you give me that, then I will. Who's ever prayed like that? You know what I'm saying? And here's the thing. At first we think, well, you know what? Well, what good is God if he's not going to give me what I want? Because your God is giving you what you need. He is giving you the most incredible gift. We deserved nothing but hell for our sin. We were on the path to death, capital D death, eternal death, like never alive again, no hope, nothing. And that's what we deserved. It was just. It was the deal. If you sin, you die, and that means hell. And God, in his incredible mercy, because he loves you so much, Jesus came into this world to live and to teach and to die, to rise again, and to give us the forgiveness of sins necessary so that our bondage to death and decay would be broken. And understand this. Yes, that might mean that I don't get my Mustang. But what is that compared to my soul? that instead of anticipating going to hell forever as I deserve, I get to anticipate going to heaven forever, where I will live in joy and perfect peace with God and man and all of creation around me again. That everything is going to be restored to the place that it was once before. And that is what Jesus is trying to deliver to the people of Nazareth. And they didn't want to hear it. In fact, they were so annoyed with Jesus. They said, fine, if you're not going to do the miracles, if you're not going to do the things that you did in Capernaum, then we're going to take you out and throw you over a cliff. This seems like an overreaction. I mean, they were really disappointed. They were really, really mad. Well, there was one more thing. Jesus told his people, listen, the people of God, the Jewish people, my own people, the people that God has prepared to receive this Savior, are going to reject me. And you're going to reject me. And you know what? The ones I'm going to save, the ones who are going to receive this message that I give, are going to be the people far off. Are going to be the people, the Gentiles, the nations. And he said, look at the Old Testament. I'll show you this. Look at the Old Testament. You know, when in the time of Ahab, when Elijah the prophet, you know, he killed the 400 prophets of Baal on the mountain, and Jezebel and Ahab got a little annoyed with him to the point where they said, may God ever so severely treat me if I do not have you dead by tomorrow. I mean, it's something like that. And so Elijah decided to take a vacation. And he went not to someplace in Israel, but the Lord led him to a widow. And miraculously, God made the widow's oil and flour not run out for the entire time the famine was upon the nation of Israel. And Jesus said, there was widows in Israel. But God sent Elijah to a faraway land, because there he would be accepted. So here's the thing. When God talks, it's imperative that we shut up and listen. It's imperative that we set aside our expectations, our desires, our dreams, our aspirations, all the noise of this short little time that we spend on this planet. We need to set that stuff aside. Does God care about that stuff? Absolutely, he does. Does he want to hear about our concerns? Absolutely, he does. But the first thing he wants straight is this. This relationship that we have with God is on God's terms. And our proper response to coming into God's presence is that we would submissively listen to him. That we would listen to what he has to say and accept the gifts that he has given us. That we would be content with what it is our God has delivered to us. And yes, if we pray, God wants to hear all those things. And is our God with us today? Absolutely, he is. Does he give us strength today? Absolutely, he does. Does he completely shower us with forgiveness so that we can live our lives effectively for him in this world, sharing the grace of God, the grace that we have received, sharing our gifts and abilities with the people around us in his name to do his work in his place? Absolutely, he does. And all of this is done submissively because his love changed us. His grace, his death, his resurrection gives us new life and makes it possible for us to love the way he loves us. And that is what we do. We stop living according to our selfish agenda. We stop living according to our plans and the things that we expect. And instead, we come with open hands and open hearts before our God. And we receive from him the blessings and the bounty that he has for us. We receive from him the forgiveness of sins that he gives to us. We receive from him the leading and the guiding and the teaching, the instruction that he has for us. We come to him and we receive how we should see the world because it is how he has revealed the world to us. We receive from him all the blessings of this incredible revelation that he has given us in Scripture. This is how our relationship with God works. He speaks. We listen. He loves. We respond with love. He rescues us from sin, death, and the devil, and we worship and praise him for all that he is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for your incredible mercy. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us into your family, into your community, Lord, because of the death and resurrection of your Son. Lord, that we look forward to a perfect place, and even in this life, Lord, you walk with us and give us strength. Lord, I pray that you would help us live submissively. Help us listen to your word. Help us follow you. So, Lord, you can be glorified in all we do. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Trust in the time.
Please stand as we confess our shared faith with the explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Jesus, I thank you that you have freed us from our bondage of slavery to sin. I thank you that we do not have to give in to the temptations that we experience, but that by your work in us, we can resist them. I thank you that you took our punishment upon yourself, so we will not receive what we deserve. Help us each day to live in this freedom. Help us to listen to you each day, trusting in you for our daily bread. Lord, I thank you for our school. I thank you for the teachers and the principal. I thank you for all the students. I thank you for the education that happens there daily. I thank you for the opportunity to hear about you and the wondrous things that you do that takes place daily. And I thank you for the community that you are developing, the relationships between the students, between the teachers, and between the teachers and students and the principal. I pray you continue to guide everyone. I pray that you would bring to the school all the students that you wish to be there to learn and to grow. Lord, I pray that you would be with people in our community. Especially this day, we pray for and remember Pamela Hafner. She's starting a new job. I just pray that you would help her to be free from anxiety or worry, but just to relish in the opportunity to use the gifts you have given her. Lord, I also pray that you would be with Randy Veland. I pray that you would grant him healing from his cancer. I pray that you'd be with him body, mind, and soul. Pray that you'd be with the doctors as they are giving him care. And Lord, we come before you with anyone else that we are aware of who are struggling with body or mind, those that we say in our hearts. All these things we bring before you, trusting in your mercy, as we pray of you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me."
Come close, nothing can compare. Your heart. the sweetest of loves. When my heart becomes free, and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. There is nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone, your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and
everlasting.
And now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserving the true faith to life everlasting. Depart from his table with peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord, look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. Seated. Thank you all for joining us in worship this day. At this time, I'd like to invite our principal, Megan Dinas, up to tell a little bit about the wonderful things happening in the school and our open house today.
Good morning. It is so great to be here this morning and see so many wonderful smiling faces. And I got to sit in the kids section today, so that was great. I got to hear lots of little chitter chatters going on. And isn't that wonderful that we're a growing community? Thank you so much for your support in our school. We couldn't be here without St. Mark's and without all of you here, right here today. You are supporting us in our ministry, so thank you so much. We are excited to celebrate National Lutheran Schools Week this week, and we're starting it out with an open house today. And I do invite you as a congregation, you are such a big support, no matter if you have kids here or not. We would love for you to go take a peek at our school. Our teachers have been working really hard on getting our classrooms spruced up and ready for today. There's lots of great projects and videos that you can come and see. So we ask that after church day at 11 o'clock, please come just walk through. We'd love to have you. I also wanted to say thank you to all of our students today. That was our Quest team. That read the scripture and the epistle today. We are so excited. That's what we're here for at St. Mark's. We are creating and building Christian leaders. And how wonderful it was to hear them get up. They are third through eighth graders, and they got up and read their Bible to everyone, and it was just amazing. It just made me smile.
All right. Thank you, Principal Dinas. A couple other quick announcements. We have a door offering today, which is for the Guatemala team. We commissioned them last week, and I think we had a video recently about that, or image, I'm not remembering. But there was, you heard about it, there's more about it. You could talk to many of the Guatemala team if you want to learn more. But there's a door offering for supporting that ministry and the wonderful things they're doing there. And lastly, next Sunday we have a potluck. And so if you haven't signed up for that, go ahead and sign up. And even if you haven't signed up, you're welcome to come like a traditional potluck. You know, bring a dish to share, a side dish or a dessert. We should have chicken available for everybody. But we'd love to see all of you who are here. We'd love to see you there next Sunday. It's 11 o'clock as well. Otherwise, I pray you have a blessed week. Go in peace and serve the Lord.